You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Ollie Pimlott, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and John Budden in the studio. Three meetings on the domestic front. We're racing on the flat at Pontefract, a good card there, including the Pontefract Castle Stakes. We've got two jumps meetings alongside that, one from Hexham and the other from Worcester. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Yeah, I'm very well indeed, Mark. Delighted to be here.
Good, good man. We're just coming off the back of Royal Ascot, John. So a good chance to look back at it, really. What's been your highlight of the week?
Well, I think it's been a marvellous Ascot, and I've picked out three horses, Mark, that have really appealed. The first of all, Galileo Gold, who won the renewal of a very good St James Palace Stakes, probably one of the best we've seen for a while, with a lot of really good horses in it. The Hugo Palmer 2,000 guineas winner I thought was excellent. Had a slight hiccup in Ireland after winning at Newmarket, but came right back to form. Looked marvellous in the paddock, and Frankie Dettori seemed to be committed to home, really quite a long way out, confident that the horse would stay. So Galileo Gold would be my first highlight. And then, of course, I suppose the absolute star of the meeting was the American filly who won the Queen Mary, Lady Aurella. This was a sparkling performance, and that probably an understatement, Mark. Yeah. Really fantastic acceleration and tremendous burst of speed from the stalls as well. I had listened to the connections on the morning line, and they were hopeful. The horse looked sweet, I thought. She was putting her nose out. This was on the morning line, out of her box, and allowing it to be fondled happily, and obviously very, very happy to be where she was, and they were a bit worried connections about the draw, and she went off on her own, but goodness gracious, it was a tremendous performance. I mean, quite clearly there were one or two other trainers and owners who strongly fancied they got winning chances, and it was blown by halfway.
Yeah, people on the back of the race, John, said it's the most eye-catching or spectacular performance since Frankel's Guineas. And the way she burst out of the stalls and hit them with a relentless gallop to the line.
Yeah.
It was reminiscent in a way.
I would agree with that, Mark. It was absolutely fabulous demonstration. Also very good for Ascot racing, the international scene, to have one of the top races won by, in this case, an American concern, is extremely good news.
Mm. What was the third one then, John?
The third one was in the Gold Cup. I thought Order of St George was a very impressive winner. And if they decide to go again next year and perhaps the year after, you could see this horse running up a Yates-like sequence, because what impressed me most about this was it was a very messy race. And Order of St George, with about, well, half a mile to go, perhaps a tiny bit longer than that, was not placed at all promisingly, and Ryan Moore had to find all kinds of ways. A sat nap had to be used to get Order of St George into a challenging position on the outside, but my goodness, that horse quickened over the Gold Cup distance in the final stages as though he was running over a mile and a half, and it wouldn't surprise me actually if he came back to a mile and a half. So Order of St George to me was a very impressive winner of the Gold Cup. while we're on those 4 days, two disappointments for the North, of course, during the week. Mecca's Angel, desperate disappointment in the King's Stand. Mm. I mean, Baxter's defeat was out of the question. Connections, particularly Paul Mulrennan, seemed to think that she was really in good form, that she'd improved since just going down to profitable in the Temple Stakes. But my goodness me, faster halfway and then simply, woof, out of it. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Mecca's Angels now. And I was a little bit disappointed with Clever Cookie in the Gold Cup. Perhaps that's unfair because Clever Cookie was drawn badly and therefore had to basically to be tucked in at the back of the field. Never got into the contest, ran on nicely to finish fifth. But I hope Clever Cookie would finish a bit closer.
Yeah, I'll throw a disappointment in there as well, John. Ashin Hikari, the Japanese raider, very disappointing. I was expecting so much more, and that was terribly disappointing.
It was a real flopperama, Mark, you're quite right. Mind you, I was in the studio about a month ago, and one of the questions on the morning line on the Monday was whether the Japanese horse was a certainty for Ascot, and I had my doubts. The bookies would have been delighted. Our governor would no doubt be very pleased indeed. But yes, it was a serious blow. And in a way, that brings us on to my sort of closing points about humans. There are two jockeys, I thought, Mark, who really impressed me at Ascot, apart from the obvious people like Frankie Dettori and Ryan Moore.
Yeah.
Adam Kirby was terrific.
Superb week for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, a marvellous week. You know, baby boy and two grade ones. His timing and strength in the finish, I thought, was excellent. We've seen this throughout the year, and he's quite right. I mean, he's not just an all-weather jockey. He's a really strong horseman on both codes, and I thought his performance both in the King's Stand on Profitable and on winning the Outsider for the same stable, Clive Cox, later in the meeting was terrific. And the other jockey I'd like to mention just before the end is Dougie Costello.
Mm.
Now, I said there were two disappointments for the North. There was, of course, one really well-backed and worthy winner, and that was Quiet Reflection in the Commonwealth Cup. And I thought Dougie Costello rode the horse to perfection. They always do, of course, when they win. But nevertheless, the horse had to be held up early, had to be produced with the opportunity to show her speed in the closing stages, and Dougie did exactly that. He's made a great success of changing from jump to flat. He's lost an awful lot of weight. I wish I knew how he was doing it. And, you know, he joins the Graham Lee and Jim Crowley and others band, and I think he will be very successful. And the connection with Carl Burke is obviously extremely profitable, so well done to Dougie Costello.
Yeah, I was very pleased to see quite Reflection win, because I was in the studio when she won the Sandy Lane Stakes, and on the back of that I thought, yeah, she's got a real chance at Royal Ascot, and I'm glad that she's gone through with it and showed that that wasn't a flash in the pan, if you like. She's a fast improving filly, and I was pleased to see that.
Absolutely right, Mark. I just thought it was almost too good to be true.
Yeah.
And of course, she was very well backed, but she did win. So well done to Carl Burke and Dougie Costello, and of course to Quiet Reflection.
Yes. Right, well, we'll leave that there. We can't sit and dwell on Royal Ascot for too much longer. Let's get stuck into some of the action coming up. We're going to look ahead to four races on Sunday. Lord Budden's got them prepared for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, John, we'll spin through these in chronological order. So we start in the 3:10 at Pontefract, and this one is a handicap, a class 3 event over a mile and a quarter. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 8 here, John. And I imagine that Banksy might be relatively popular in the market, but what do you make of it?
Yeah, well, Banksy is going to be pretty popular in the market, and I think will be very hard to beat. Three horses, I thought, of the 8 who got definite chances. The first one will be Mera Kib, the David O'Meara runner. Tried to make all when seen last time out at York. Very difficult course to make all the running, and the Naismeyer finished third to Pandora, just running on at one pace in the closing stages. But the stable are beginning to show quite a bit of form, and I thought Marikib could go fairly well. Then we'd have to mention Arrowzone. Arrowzone was a winner last time out, and is trained by Ivan Furtado, who was, you know, talked about in the same sort of grade as Hugo Palmer about a couple of seasons ago. Hasn't quite made the progress that Hugo has made, but is still a very decent young trainer. And Arrowzone was a good winner at Newmarket last time out on seasonal debut, beat Jack's Revenge and also George Sank, who was in third place. Now that's quite decent form, and I thought Arrowzone had definitely got to go well, but the choice rather dull, I'm afraid. It has to be Banksy, Luca Cumani and Andrea Azzini, who actually I thought gave Missou an excellent ride in the Gold Cup. Banksy has been a good second in decent races twice in a row. Second at Ascot, behind Turin Star, and particularly a good second at Leicester, a race won by Gershwin, who is a youthful three-year-old. And I thought that Banksy will probably show just too much class to beat Arrowzone.
Banksy, the selection then for Lord Budden in the 3:10 at Pontefract. Moving to Hexham next for their 3:30. And this one is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles. We've got a field of 7 in here, John. And we'll start with Cork Citizen, if we may, for David Pipe. And Tom Scudamore arrives here in winning form after success at Foss last time.
Yes, I thought this might be a newcomer to David Pipe's yard, but that is not the case. A good winner at Forslass, and I think that was on the fifth time since joining David Pipe. Also finished just ahead of Beeves when they were fourth and fifth at Yetoxeter before that. Beeves will try and make all the running. He's a typical front runner. Ex-Donald McCain has, I think, actually improved a bit with Jenny Candlish. Made all at Warwick, but Warwick is a fairly tight course, and Hexham needs a lot of galloping, and front runners haven't got a great record at Hexham, so I thought Beeves might find it hard to score. There are a couple of others in the contest who I thought had a possible chance, and I'm going to go for one of them at the bottom of the list, and this is Cobra J Island, Lucinda Russell and Derek Fox. Now, this horse was considered to be quite useful when joining Lucinda's stable a couple of seasons ago. Has frankly been pretty disappointing, but I thought ran his best race for a long while when third Kelso Mark. Scotswell won the race, was not disgraced next time out when only just been beaten in the Veterans Chase at Cartmel. So the form is fair, and I thought Cobra J Island ran on relatively well and was only beaten about 5 lengths in the end when third. I think Hexham should suit, so I'm going to go for Cobra J Island.
Cobra J Island and the selection for Lord Budden there in the 3:30 at Hexham. Moving back to Pontefract for the 3:40, the big race on their card of the afternoon. The Pontefract Castle Stakes, a listed event over a mile and a half for four-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 10 here, John. And I imagine a lot of people will start with Barsanti at the top of the works there. Arrives here in real good form.
I think they probably will, Mark. Being an obstinate fellow, I'm going to oppose Barsanti, but nevertheless, see, he's got a definite chance. 40 grand a race this. Some people say there's never any good racing in the UK on Sundays. Well, I think Ponty have shown that that's not always true, and this is a very good race, as you suggest. Barsanti has to have a major chance. Roger Varian's runner is going for a four-timer. Andrea Azzini in the saddle. Two wins on the all-weather, and also a really quite impressive success at York, beating Oasis Fantasy there. Has gone up £9, and might find that a bit difficult, but clearly I will put nobody off backing Barsanti. Dioretto has to be considered. Andrew Balding, to my rather fuddled statistic mind, has got a reasonable strike rate record at Ponty. And when his horses go there, I have a little inkling to follow them. And I thought that Gioretto was not suited by the course at Epsom last time out. He was rolling all over the place, finished fifth in what was really quite a decent race, and had run better at Ascot before that, when a close-ish second in quite a good class race. So Gioretto definitely has a chance. But I've been impressed with the way that Huey Morrison's horses have been going during the recent part of the season, Mark. And so I'm going to go for Sweeping Up, who is the Morrison horse in this particular race, and Jimmy Fortune in the saddle. I thought Sweeping Up ran well at Goodwood, was second to Mount Logan. Now, that is pretty decent form. Had also been second to Journey, and I think I'm right in saying that the fifth horse in the race won either last night or the night before. So the form looks good. Both Journey and Mount Logan are fairly classy animals in handicap company, and despite the respect for Barsanti, I'm going to go for Sweeping Up.
Sweeping Up, then, the selection for John in the Pontefract Castle Stakes. And we finish off at Worcester in their 450. This is a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles, a Class 2 event. And 10 of them in the lineup here, John, 5 of which won last time they were on a race course. So it's quite a competitive race to finish with.
Yes, this is a very tricky handicap. Worcester is always a tricky place to get winners anyhow. Quite interestingly, too, several of these runners have been running over fences with reasonable success. Sir Valentino, for example, at the top, was a winner last time out over fences. Curious Carlos has to come into the argument. A winner, I think, at Force Lass last time out. He beat a horse called Grand Maestro, and that's not bad form. And the Bowen stable in pretty good shape. So Curious Carlos will have plenty of support and might well go close. Dormelo Mo. Well, if it was just a couple of seasons ago, even a shorter time than that ago, perhaps, Dormelo Mo would start a very short price for this particular contest. But the horse has been very disappointing over fences. Didn't seem to like it at all. Comes back here over hurdles, and this is really quite a long time since we've seen Dormelo Mo over the smaller obstacles. So we have to take that on trust. We have 22s taken in the race as well, made all in heavy ground at Exeter. It'll be a different surface at Worcester, and I leave my selection to the end, and I'm going on a limb here. I'm going to go with Cashmere Peak in this contest. Now, we, of course, in the studio will have known Cashmere Peak has been one of John Quinn's regular horses under both codes, quite a successful one too. Hasn't, in fact, won over hurdles since, I think, the winter of 2014 to 15. Was third on the fibre sand at Southall earlier in the year, fell last time out for John Quinn, and now is with the Skeltons. Makes his debut for the Skelton stable at Worcester here, and I thought Dan Skelton is a trainer who could get quite an improvement out of Cashmere Peak, who appeared to have just lost a little bit of his confidence over the past 18 months or so. Could come back here. So Cashmere Peak will be the choice.
Cashmere Peak, then, to make a winning debut for Dan Skelton, our first start for the yard in that race at Worcester, then. Let's just have a little bit of summary, John, before you go, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Sunday one more time.
We're starting 3:10 at Pontefract, and I'm pretty beginning for a warm favourite here. I think Banksy for Luca Cumani could score. Over the jumps at Hexham in the 3:30, a better price here. If it wins, Cobra J Island is the choice. Back to Ponte for the big race of the afternoon there, the 3:40, and the choice for this Ponte race is interesting to my point of view. Huey Morrison Sweeping Up it is. I don't think that was start favourite. And finally at Worcester, we go for the ex-John Quinn, now Dan Skelton trained, Cashmere Peak.
Superb stuff. Thank you very much, John. Good luck and enjoy on Sunday.
Lovely, Mark. Look forward to it.
So there you go. The thoughts of Lord John Budden on Sunday's racing. He'll be in the studio and he'll be joined by Ollie Pimlott and Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. They're live from 1:50 p.m. for the meetings at Pontefract, Hexham and Worcester. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.